Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody, and today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks, lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and not every day. Six great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, you need to stock up for the weekend. Big game tomorrow, Penn State, Ohio State. Just want to sit back, enjoy. So that means you need to go to Brewers Outlet today. Plus you got the Eagles playing. Got the Dolphins game. Steelers are playing the Rams. You just want to kick back and enjoy on a fall weekend. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. So Penn State, Ohio State, coming up tomorrow noon. We're on beginning at 10:30 on Eagle 107. In fact, it's a big Eagle 107 weekend with the Phillies and with Penn State football. They will not intersect in any way. All right? So that's not going to happen. And tomorrow's game, of course, will be a 10:30 airtime. Jack Hamm, Brian Tripp, Roger Corey, myself, all out there in Columbus for that one. And we'll hear from the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football, Paul Keels, in just a few moments. In fact, Paul and I did play golf, as you'll did play golf out in Bloomington together on the second day. And yes, he did use the chutter. Which I said, I have a friend of mine that calls it a chutter. He looked at me and goes, what is that? He said, this is kind of a chipper putter kind of. I said, well, he calls it a chutter. He goes, no, I'm not going to do that. I say, good, my respect for you just went up. All right. So we'll talk to Paul. And then Donnie Collins, his thoughts on the game. Neil Coulong, Tony Knopp, all on today's show. Looking forward to hearing from all of them and more. Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. As we continue with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks. Hey, for the game tomorrow, you need lots and lots of snacks. Plenty of snacks. All right? They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none at Brewers Outlet. Stock up for the weekend now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. One of the best in the business, but, you know, this is, you know, we have a lot of fun together away from football, basketball, and broadcast, because he's one of the great guys out there. My good friend, the voice of Ohio State football and basketball, Paul Keels. Sir, always a pleasure.
Well, you know, it's just always an honor to be in the presence of a guy that is such a skilled golfer that he can tee off and mash the ball so hard that the head comes flying off of his driver.
Third hole, foul course, it goes flying off. Paul looks over and he says, that wasn't the ball, was it? I said, no. Yeah, so we teed off with a six iron the rest of the day.
A memorable day on the golf course in Bloomington, Indiana.
You and I had a blast that day. A blast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All's good here. Hope all's good there.
All's good here, my friend. So there's certain things you don't know until they really start playing game in and game out. Drew Aller, we've seen that with Penn State. You've now seen a game in and game out with Kyle McCord. What have you thought watching him and the maturation of him?
You know, Steve, it's been a growing process, as you would imagine. I mean, this is a guy that had a lot of backup snaps in mop-up duty with the exclusion of one start a couple of years ago against Akron. But what you've seen is a guy that has had to grow into the position. He had some rough stretches, but when they've really needed him, case in point, fourth quarter on the road at Notre Dame, he's been able to make the plays that he's needed to make. It doesn't hurt that you have receivers like Marvin Johnson, Emeka Ebuka when healthy, Julian Fleming, Cade Stover, and running backs when healthy that can provide that kind of a threat. But he really has grown into where we've seen him become a poised quarterback.
You've seen a lot of great receivers at Ohio State, the David Bostons. I can go through the long list. But Marvin is now third all-time in 100-yard receiving games. I believe he's at 11 now. When you look at him, based on the fact that you have looked at so many quality receivers over the years, what makes him special?
You know, Steve, you'll laugh at this because early on in the game at Purdue last week, he dropped a pass that he normally catches. I mean, right. It hit him right in the hands and just tried. And Jim Lachey and I just looked at one of those like, can you believe that just happened?
Yeah.
He's a guy that just does all the things that everybody from an opposing team is worried that he'll do, even though they know it's coming. He's a guy that runs incredible routes. He makes just those incredible sticky finger catches. He's got the ability to get to separate from defensive backs and just has become consistent. And his presence certainly has helped open the door for others when he's drawn double coverage. But he, without question, he is truly one of the best that we've seen come along the path here at Ohio State.
And you know what? This is going to be a game where we're going to see a lot of tight ends. Theo Johnson, Tyler Warren. Cade Stover made a big play against Penn State last year. It seems like every game I watch, he makes a big play. You talked about the domino effect of Marvin Harrison. What does Cade Stover mean in that domino effect?
Well, he's been a guy, Steve, that has done all of the things that fit the job description of a tight end. He's blocked incredibly well. He's made great catches. He's run good routes. He's made great yardage after the catch. And we've seen that this year in a couple of instances. But he's really become a good leader on this football team. You know, this is a guy who a couple of years ago was playing some linebacker because of the situation they had on that side of the football. Came back. He could have left and tried the pro route after last season. But a guy that just, he does all of those things that you need a tight end to do. But much like the two guys at Penn State that you talked about, he's a guy that can make things happen after he gets the ball in his hands.
You mentioned linebacker Jack Ham. Can't say enough about Tommy. And then I can't say enough about Steel Chambers, who had been a running back at one point and was flipped over. When you look at the two of them, what do they do to stabilize the Ohio State defense?
Well, Tommy Eichenberg, and it's no surprise that Jack likes Tommy the way he plays, because he plays a lot like Jack did.
Yep.
You know, he's the quarterback out there. He sees everything that happens. He gets people lined up. He's a big, strong, physical guy that can move very well to get into positions. And Steel Chambers, because of that ability, as you mentioned, having been a running back, he's a guy that can cover a lot of territory. And you know who's making the push to get some of those reps now is Cody Simon.
Yes.
Even though they generally play just two linebackers, he's a guy that if they go to a third, or he's gotten some of the reps that Steel Chambers has had. And Cody's a guy that dealt with some injuries a couple of years ago, but has really helped them in many different situations and makes additional special teams plays there. So it's a group that really has been a big part of why this defense has improved. One of the biggest things they had to do this year, Steve, was limit the opponent getting explosive plays, and they've been able to do that in large part because of the way those guys have played.
Look, I know Denzel Burke is a terrific corner, but the guy I keep looking at all the time when I'm watching video is the sixth-year guy, Josh Proctor. What has his presence meant back at that safety spot for what Jim wants to do?
A lot. You know, experience, as you said. But keep in mind, too, Josh is a guy that two years ago broke his leg in a game against Oregon that they lost. Last year, lost his starting job during the first game of the season. He let a big play get out of the gate against Notre Dame. and could have, again, tried to pursue the pro route after last year, but his comeback has been a leader. Jim Knowles' defense is really kind of heavily safety-oriented, and Josh Proctor, along with Lathan Ransom, have been a big part of that. You know, you think about the Maryland game a couple of weeks ago when Ohio State needed a big play. Offense was kind of stuck in the mud. Maryland was really making some things happen. Josh Proctor gets a big six, and that pick six just changed the whole momentum of that football game.
When you watched Ohio State play Notre Dame, and you knew it was going to be a four-quarter game, it was going to go the last few minutes, what did Ohio State show you in all three phases that made that a win for Ohio State?
Well, and it's funny you mentioned three, Steve, because there was a punt that got Notre Dame pinned deep, even though the Irish drove downfield. But defensively, what they had a one, maybe two crucial stops of Notre Dame on fourth downs. One that was right down around the goal line that could have changed the momentum of that football game. The defense got the ball back for the offense when it looked like Notre Dame had an opportunity to try and grind the clock out. Surprisingly, Notre Dame was running some pass plays when they needed to chew the clock, and they weren't doing it. The defense got the ball back, and then you saw, you know, and this goes back to what we were talking about with Kyle McCord, Steve. Their last possession, both first and second downs, he tries to throw the ball to Travion Henderson out of the backfield. Bad misses. But then he's able to really rein it in. Big pass play to Marvin Harrison, who had been hurt earlier. Big pass play to Xavier Johnson. A crucial fourth down catch by Julian Fleming. And then a ball thrown to Emeka Ebuka that gets him down at the one-yard line and sets up the game winner for Chip Traynham. So it showed you that in a difficult situation in front of a difficult crowd, this was a team that could make the plays they needed to. The way Ryan Day talked, there was no panic. They still had confidence that they could get themselves in a position to win the football game. And that's exactly what they did.
I'm glad you mentioned Xavier Johnson in that answer, because there's certain guys that will fly under the radar that are important to a team winning games. What do you see in Xavier Johnson in his own way that helps Ohio State win games?
That he will do whatever is asked of him. This is a guy that came to Ohio State as a walk-on. I believe, Steve, the only scholarships offers he had coming out of Cincinnati were to Ivy League schools. Yeah. Worked as a cornerback for a while. Excelled on special teams. And then last year really burst onto the scene. He caught a go-ahead touchdown at home against Notre Dame. He had a long TD run against Indiana. Caught a TD against Georgia in the playoffs. And a guy that last week with the injuries at running back, they used him running the football. He's a guy that can go out there and catch passes. Still plays out there on special teams. Just one of those young men that will do whatever is asked of him.
Last year when Travion Henderson got hurt, Maya Williams played most of the game, and Henderson played some of the game against Penn State. But down the stretch, Dallin Hayden had to play. I know the plan that Ryan and his staff have. They would idealistically love to redshirt him, but they played him last week. I mean, you've got four games to play with him in the regular season. What kind of running back is he, and where is he even a little bit better this year than he was as a true freshman?
You know, he'd only played in one game prior to last week at Purdue. He's a guy that he just seems to have a little different acceleration to get to the hole than some of the other running backs have. And again, it was out of necessity last week. Both Henderson and Williams did not even play in the game. Williams didn't even make the trip. Traynham got hurt with what appeared to be a concussion in the first half. So Dallin came in there, and he had not had a carry prior to last week. He just seems to have a unique ability to play off the blocks and have a real good recognition of where the holes are. His ball security has been good. His pass protection needs some help, but he just really was able to answer the bell. This is a guy that, you know, last year he was able to come in. He had a 100-yard game with three touchdowns at Maryland and help Ohio State win a game they barely hung on to win the week before the Michigan game. And then we really didn't see him against either Michigan or against Georgia last year. But, you know, the plan still, if possible, to redshirt him. But as Ryan Day mentioned in his press conference yesterday, they'll talk with Dallin, see how things play out, and do what's best for the football team. Now, a lot of that's going to have to do with how available Henderson and Williams are and what the status is with Traynham. But it was amazing to see a guy that's number four on the depth chart, but he was there and he was ready when called upon.
Yeah, exactly. Penn State fans, of course, know all about JTT. He was the game wrecker last year. But what about the guy on the other side, Sawyer? What does it mean having him over there as a balance for JTT?
Well, you know, and those two have been subject of a lot of talk around here because the sack numbers haven't been what people would expect. They're now up to 10 sacks now, but I think when you consider having played Purdue and Maryland, that kind of got it healthy a little bit. And then the sack numbers are probably down because they've been one of the best in the nation and not letting up explosive plays. They've not allowed a play over 40 yards. They've only allowed four plays of 30 or more yards. But what those two do, Tui Moloau and Sawyer at defensive ends, they play well off of one another. They take advantage of what the guys in the middle, like Mike Hall and Ty Hamilton and Tylee Williams, do. And because some of the teams early on, especially in the, some of the non-conference games, were getting rid of the ball early. Yeah. Indiana in week one was running some triple option while they were trying to figure out who they were going to use at quarterback. But, you know, what everybody's really looking for from both Tui Moloau and Sawyer is consistency. I mean, Jalen, he had a career in one game there in college last year.
I noticed.
he's shown some flashes of that. He had a play at Notre Dame where he got back there and almost had another pick six like he had last year in State College. It's just seeing it consistently from both of them. Sawyer's a little more of a big, physical, bruising defensive end. Tui Moloau's got athletic ability. He was an outstanding high school basketball player. So they have different skill sets that allow them to really complement one another on each of those end spots.
Are you sensing that this is more the type of defense that Jim Knowles has wanted to play?
I think so, although he's talked about, Steve, what he'd like to do is maybe blitz a little more.
Yeah.
And they haven't just because they've been concerned about letting things out the gate on the back end. And they're not, and you can relate to this because of your experience with Larry Johnson, they're not rotating as many defensive linemen as you normally have seen them do. They're giving their first four or five more of the reps. But I think what Jim Knowles has had to do really is kind of adjust what he'd like to do to make it suit the skill set of the players that they feel like are the best ones to have on the field.
My friend, always a pleasure. I really look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
The pleasure's all mine, and I look forward to the same.
Paul Keels, the voice of Ohio State football and basketball. It's funny, we're playing that day, and on the driving range, I hit the driver pretty well. I'm like, okay, first hole, all right, decent drive. Second hole, I really hit one, but it sounded clunky when I hit it. I'm like, that's kind of a weird sound. The third hole, it went flying off into the weeds, the head of it. I'm like, oh, no, great. I teed off with a 6-iron the rest of the day. All right. Coming up, Donnie Collins, his thoughts on tomorrow's game. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend now. Right now. It's going to be a big weekend. Okay, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies, and the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now to bring in one of the best of the business from the Scranton Times Tribune, Donnie Collins. Donnie, great to have you back.
Yeah, good to be here, Steve. I'm interested in the... I didn't realize Texas had only played the one home game.
That's it. They played one. Arizona's played one. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, Arizona's only played one. Jeez.
Yeah. Everybody's jumping up and down about how great the Phillies crowd happens to be. That's because they play every game at home.
Yeah. That's why they win all the time, too.
It doesn't hurt them. Okay. So let's get to Penn State. Six games in, now you at least have something to evaluate and really look at pro and con. So what are the pros and cons of what you've seen through a month and a half?
It's a tough one because we haven't, I don't want to say anything as a con necessarily because they've won every game and they haven't had to do some of the things that I would say are quote-unquote cons at this point. But, you know, we haven't seen them make a million big plays down the field. We haven't seen them break the big runs on offense, and I think you know there's some questions. Can Drew Aller make those deep throws one on one? And we've heard all about the you know everybody knows that that's probably the answer. But to the same point, they haven't had to do, and they've certainly had a lot of success on that side of the ball, scoring points and making the most of opportunities and matriculating the ball down the field and doing it, playing kind of an old school style. And I think they're kind of on offense. To me, getting back to the pro side here, offensively they've been a little bit more. I don't want to say professional, but I guess that's the word I'm going to use: professional in their approach. Because I thought beginning of the season, you got a group here with a lot of young guys and. Young teams, when they're young and talented, tend to make a lot of big plays and some mistakes. But this team hasn't made as many big plays as I thought, but they haven't made anywhere near the mistakes I thought they might either. So I think they're playing winning offense, which is, and James keeps saying this, good complementary football the way the defense is playing. And I don't see a con with the defense so far. I mean, there's nothing, I think, negative that the defense has done outside of, you know, maybe not played anybody, but that's certainly not their fault. But you know, hey, that the Iowa game at the time is a big game. Everybody's talking about that game, and they go out and dominate the game. Iowa runs 35 plays against them, 3-and-out after 3-and-out. But I think the best thing you could say about this team right now is the defense is playing at a level you thought they would be able to, and the offense isn't making any mistakes. And if they keep playing at that level, then there's going to be some reason for his excitement, but there's always going to be with fans, the media, and that, like, oh, what aren't they doing? Well, they're not making a million big plays, but again, they haven't really had to. So I don't know if I count that as a negative. I mean, and a week ago, I would have said the con is I don't think they were as good on special teams as I think they could be, but then they go out and get a guy returning two punts for scores and playing pretty well on special teams last week. So I think they've shown a little bit of everything. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that you could say about this team.
Something that has been, I think, consistent in Penn State playing Ohio State is that Ohio's done a great job of getting pressure against Penn State quarterbacks off the edge. What has been your thought on the play of the Penn State offensive line to this point?
I think they've been great. Olu, obviously, is a... You know, I don't know if I'd pick another left tackle in the country.
Yep.
to put on that side, to put in there. I think he might be the first player I pick of anybody. Yeah. You know, if I'm starting a college football team right now, he's that good. He's that consistent. He's that steady. You almost forget he's out there. I actually during games I'll watch a series and just put the binoculars on Olu to watch and remind myself how good he is because if you didn't watch him, you wouldn't know he was there. He takes guys out of games. So, but you know, I knew Olu would be good. I think Caden Wallace is playing his best football.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that pressure off the edge, and even when there's no real drop off when Drew Shelton's in there either. So I think that pressure off the edge is something that, and it killed them last year. It just destroyed Penn State last year in that game against Ohio State, because Tuimolo got to Clifford a couple of times and was able to change what Penn State was, you know, force him into some turnovers and change what they wanted to do late in that game. So I think that is a big deal in this game, but I think they've been really good this year. I don't think that will be a problem this week for them. I think they'll, of course, there's going to be some instances where, because Ohio State's talented, they always are, there's going to be some instances where they put some pressure on Aller, but I don't think it's going to be anywhere near the consistency that we saw that last year with Tuimolo against these two tackles. Now, that said, I think a bigger deal here, too, that nobody mentions is Hunter Norzad has stepped in where Jude Scruggs was and continued to play a really dominant center. At times, he's playing he's playing at an elite level at center at times this season. So he's done a great job. And I think if J.B. Nelson can come back, I think that would be a real bonus for them this week, because Nelson, I thought, was playing pretty well and pretty steady. But again, you know, Wormley, Vega, those guys have played well at times. And, you know, certainly Wormley's played pretty well, you know, from the start of the season on. So I think this is the one time I think I can remember where Penn State, I think, has a decided edge in the trenches against Ohio State. And I think that if they can go in there and get a win, they'll have played very well in the trenches. I think that's the only way that this could happen.
Yeah, Tuimolo out last year started the game against Olu and he couldn't get anything done, and they flipped him to the other side. And for the fans thinking, he went over to Wallace's side and look what he did, people forget Wallace didn't play in last year's game. He was hurt and couldn't play, and I think having him over there is a stabilizing factor. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, and honestly, I went and looked at that game last year the week after, and I thought, because Effner was in there for Wallace, and I didn't think he played all bad.
No,
I think JT Tuimolo made plays in big moments, and was, you know, and they forced turnovers, and that always magnifies. But I think he made a couple of big plays in that game. Otherwise, I think they did a good job against him. But certainly, and this is no knock on Effner, who was a good player. He was a serviceable guy, but he's not Caden Wallace. And, you know, having Wallace out there, I think, especially playing the way he is right now, he's another guy, you forget you got him because he's playing so well. But I think if he plays to the level he's played this year, I think he's going to give you a much better shot at controlling those big plays that Tuimolo always made. And look, he makes them against everybody. Go back in the Notre Dame game. He made a couple of big plays in the Notre Dame game. He made a couple of big plays against Purdue.
Yep.
You know, he's that's what he does. He shows up in big spots. But if you can control that a little bit, and I think part of controlling that is not just blocking him. I think part of it is running the ball well and doing some things where you're not forcing yourself to throw in big spots if you don't have to. Keeping yourself balanced and being able to not, you know, trademark is the word I'm looking for. What you're going to have to do. Because where he could pin his ears back and go after you. I think the whole offensive scheme puts them in a position to control what JTT does. But certainly, I don't think they're going to put him on Olu this year, because you're right, he didn't do anything against the guy last year.
No, zero. But let's flip it to the other side. Penn State's ability to get to Kyle McCord, or at least get him off his spot, which has not been his comfort level. What do you see, especially on the edges, in the matchups there?
Yeah, I think they have a really good chance to put some pressure on McCord in this game. They have Ohio State's got good tackles. I don't know if they've played up to that level this year at times, but that's the knock on Ohio State right now. Ohio State's got an offensive line that they feel is suspect out there in Columbus. So. And I think Penn State's defensive line has played very well. So, and for the first time here, you look back at the quarterbacks they've had. Even Stroud could run it a little bit. JT Barrett certainly was a pretty good runner. Justin Fields, a really, really good runner. I don't think McCord is. I think McCord wants to stay back there. He'll move a little bit. He's kind of like Drew, in the sense that he'll move if he has to. to. He'll get yards when he has to, but that's not a big part of his game. Stroud was like that to a certain degree.
Yeah.
But I think if you kind of can get him out of it, get him on the move a little bit, that's playing to the strength you want to play. I mean, and that's what Penn State's done very well. I think sacks may be a little bit overrated a stat sometimes because you could pile them up at the end of games, but the pressures aren't overrated. And these guys get a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. They have from the beginning of the year. I think, don't quote me on this, but I think like Chop Robinson only has a couple of sacks,
right.
But it seems like he's always in the quarterback's face. I think they have to consistently get in the face of McCord this week. And certainly you're not going to get there every play, but do it enough to make sure that, you know, especially on the down where you know they're throwing, you get a third and nine, you have a chance to get yourself off the field. I think that's a big thing for Penn State. Get off the field when you can in this game. And a lot of this stuff is obvious, but, you know, it's forced turnovers. Yeah, that always helps. Get off the field on third and nine. Yeah, of course. But I think Penn State, the way they're set up this year, they have a chance to do that a little more consistently than they have in the past.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned getting him off the spot. I didn't say sacking him. Getting him off the spot, making him make decisions quicker than he wants to.
Yeah, that's always the key. It's never, you know, I think it's always funny when these guys go, well, why don't you have as many sacks as you did a year ago or whatever? Well, it's because you don't necessarily need to. You need to force the guy to do something he doesn't really want to do. It can make him uncomfortable. Because that's not just a one-play thing. That's a whole game thing. If you can get a guy comfortable, you could change really the mentality of the offense that way.
How do you view the two running games coming in?
I think they're pretty similar. I mean, they have a lot of, you know, I think the big difference really is that it seems like Nick Singleton and Catron Allen are healthy, and there's some questions about, you know, guys like Mayan Williams and Travion Henderson, where they're two real big play guys. But you know, Dallin Hayden's a pretty good player too. I think Ohio State's got a lot of guys there, but you know, they haven't really run the ball, I think, as well as they have in past years because their offense, there's so many questions on the offensive line. But I think, you know, when I made my prediction earlier on my podcast, I said I really think Penn State, if they're going to win this game, they have to do it behind that offensive line with Singleton and Allen, kind of playing an old school style of game where they're churning out yards, playing the way they've played this year, and running the ball the way they've played. I really thought against UMass. Now, I know people, it's UMass, but I thought some of the runs, especially from Singleton, I thought that was the best I had seen Singleton all year. Now, is he breaking 80-yard runs? No, but he's getting 7, 8. He's running hard. As James said yesterday, he's running over the safety instead of trying to run by him, which I think they don't want him to do every time. But certainly that sets a tone, and that's the way Catron runs. That's Catron's kind of game. So I think they're more similar than I think people give them some credit for. I think Nick's got this. You know, he's got all this speed. He's their outside guy. The thunder and lightning thing. I don't think it's that at all. I think the whole key to Penn State's offense is those guys are pretty similar, that you can interchange them. When one needs a rest, you get the other one in there, and you don't really have to change everything you do. And I think those two guys are really the key for me in this game. Everyone's going to talk about Drew. I asked James about Drew yesterday, about going home. I don't think Drew is the X factor. I think it's a running game. I think if they can run the ball pretty well, they got a really good shot. And hey, look, they have two of the better running backs in the Big Ten, so why shouldn't they run the ball pretty well?
And I think there's an area in this, let's go back to Drew, that helps him out a lot. I thought Catron Allen was always a good receiver. I feel Nicholas Singleton has really improved as a receiver. What does that mean to this offense that he has improved that much?
Yeah, I think that's huge. You know, that was the book on them. And last year, I think the book was the reality where, you know, Catron is getting some big catches. He's had some this year. Mm-hmm. He's had some games where he's caught a pass or two and moved the sticks and done a good job. I think, but having Nick be able to do that, and you know, with his speed, I think that's where you want to get him. You do want to get him on the edge from time to time and be able to kind of get him in space and see what he can do. And he's I don't know if he's got that that initial burst that Barkley had. But when he gets going, you know, he's a hard guy to bring down. And I think when, you know, that kind of gets going a little bit better in the passing game this year. And he was talking this morning on one of the Zoom calls. He really worked hard on that in the offseason. He knew that was a part of his game, that if he added that, he could really add to the quality of the offense and the scheme. And I think that's part of the reason that what those two guys could do catching the ball out of the backfield is, you know, it's a big part of why Penn State doesn't have to take a million shots on the field during the game, where you're going to be hit and miss on those. You can take the easy ones, and those guys, you know, move the sticks that way. This whole offense and sense of it, to me, is it moves the sticks. Yeah. It does it with relentless consistency, and part of that is because Singleton and Allen are guys now you have to focus on them out of the backfield. And quite frankly, nobody's done a good job shutting them down. Mm-hmm. that throw is an easy one for Drew to make. And to put the ball in their hands and let them kind of go after it, make some big plays that way. I think it's much more likely that they're going to make big plays in the passing game than in the running game, because they get the ball in open space so much more often. I just think that's, you know, for them to add that, especially for Singleton to add that to his game, is huge. I think Katron has it and always has, and we'll see if, you know, if that becomes a big factor in this game. I think it might, but Singleton's certainly the guy this year who's stepped up in that regard.
And finally, I'll ask you about Marvin Harrison, because I feel Kate Stover's a big factor in what they do, but it's because of the domino of Marvin Harrison. There's no question when the word elite can be misused. Not in this guy's case. You've watched him a couple of years now. What's been your thought watching him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a bigger version of his dad.
Yes.
And his dad was one of the best receivers in the NFL for a very long time. Yep. I mean, that's a Hall of Famer. So, like, yeah, I mean, I was going to ask that during the press conference to James. I asked the second question yesterday, and I was going to ask about Marvin Harrison, but he was the first question. That's how important he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the first question in a press conference in a top-10 matchup. So how do you control the guy? And the answer is you don't. You try to limit his opportunities is what you do. But he's going to make his plays. He's 6 foot one, 6 foot. And James is right. He looks big.
Yes,
he looks
does.
Bigger than that somehow.
Yep.
And he plays smaller. He plays like his dad. He's very smooth. He runs great routes. This is the best player Penn State's going to face this year, in my opinion, on the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, they have to kind of try to, I guess the way to put this is, you know, in their own minds, live with the damage he's going to do, because he's going to get a couple of throws deep. He's going to make plays one-on-one. He really got them going last week against Purdue.
Yep.
He made one of those, you know, those grabs. He pinned the ball against the defender. The guy had him covered, and Harrison's still catching the ball. So that's the kind of player he is. He's going to make an impact. You can't avoid it. He's too good not to. But could you, as a defense, and I think Penn State is uniquely positioned this week to maybe do this, could you limit the amount of big plays he can make? Could you deny him the ball sometimes? Could you do some things that'll get them to stop just trying to let him make plays one-on-one? And I think having Kalen King and Johnny Dixon helps in that regard, because they're at least cornerbacks who can match him skill-wise. But, hey, the best cornerback against the best receiver, you know, you have that matchup, and sometimes the cornerback wins the play and sometimes the receiver does. And Harrison's going to win his share of plays, and you have to try to figure out how to maybe control him a little bit. But if he has a 10-catch, 180-yard game like he's done in, you know, to some opponents this year and in years past, and like he did last year to Penn State, that's going to be that'd be a big boon for Ohio State for sure.
Donnie, my friend, it's always a great pleasure. Thanks so much for your thoughts and for being with us.
Thanks, Steve. Anytime.
Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.